Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jason Mackey in just one second here from the Post-Gazette on the Fan Hotline. Fan Morning Show presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing. Hi, Jason. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Doing great. How are you?
We're good. Thank you for asking. Okay, after the Neil Huntington show yesterday, Joe Block did that right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. And after Neil Huntington's availability with the media and everybody's chance to talk to him, are things any more clear as now the deadline day is, 9 days away?
No, I can't say I can sit here and feel really good about the message that Neil sent. But at the same time, I understand where Neil's coming from. I mean, what would you do? What message can he send clearly that sort of aligns with what his ball club has done? His team's been all over the map. I don't think it does him any good to come out on Sunday afternoon and say we're going to sell everybody. But I also think it's equally as stupid for him to sit there and say we're not going to do anything. So, I mean, he's trying to react to it. To answer your question, though, Colin, I don't think the message is any more clear, but what I do think I can sort of sense from Huntington and stuff you hear around the team, they will certainly listen. They'll have a lot of conversations, how they play over the next, 7 days, maybe less, and how the Cubs play and what the situation is certainly going to dictate which direction they go, but you have to be leaning toward at least standing pat, if not selling a few minor pieces.
What would it take, and I know we don't have, even you don't have an encyclopedic knowledge of other teams' farm systems, but just give me an idea of what kind of haul they would have to get in return to consider actually moving Felipe Vasquez.
Yeah, I mean, it would have to be that, Chris, an absolute haul. I mean, you look for a top-of-the-rotation starter, a position player prospect, a major league-ready player. And to me, if I'm Neil Huntington, that's only a starting point. I'm going to try to get more. I mean, you have to make it so you can't even question whether that's the right move. If you get, a top five, top ten prospect in baseball, somebody's number one, a terrific top-of-the-rotation arm, plus a guy, I would say maybe the equivalent of a Cabrian Hayes, hopefully better than that, maybe you have to think about it. But somebody literally is going to have to blow your doors off. I think their only hope here is that the situation the Dodgers are in, they may need to get stupid with this thing. They may need to overpay. And that's why I think Huntington is smart for listening to them. And if they do get stupid, hey, that's when you do it.
You can text us, Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Does Neil Huntington and the people that make the decision with the Pittsburgh Pirates, let me try to phrase this question the right way. Do they have to take into account the feelings of the players at this point, or have the players right now at 46 and 52, have they forfeited their right to feel one way or the other?
Yeah, I think that's well put, Colin. And yeah, I think they forfeited their right to feel one way or the other. The way they stormed back going into the All-Star break, putting themselves one game under 500 despite injuries and all the junk that happened, to be 2.5 games out of the division, if that track would have continued, then the players have a right to feel missed. You come out of the break after that situation is in front of you, and we don't need to dissect why it's happened. I mean, we can, but there have been a lot of reasons. You come out of the break losing 7-9, I'm sorry. You can't sit here and complain. You had the opportunity to keep this club together. And if Huntington would go nuclear at this point and sell off every one of his assets, to me, these players only have themselves to blame. You want to keep this club together, you got to play better than going 2-7 out of a break with a great opportunity.
Do you think the failings of the Chris Archer trade to this point have him gun-shy at all about if the opportunity to make a big deal came along doing so?
I think a little bit. I found Huntington's messaging interesting yesterday versus the last time he got in front of us, where he voluntarily brought up the past three trade deadlines the last time he talked and said, we've done a variety of things and none of the three have worked out and met expectations. And I would agree with them. I think it was the wrong pulse in 2016. And, for whatever reason, I don't necessarily blame Huntington. The Archer deal wasn't what he thought it would be last year, and it didn't ultimately get them where they want to go. Then he brought it up in his radio show with Joe Block yesterday and said, you know, he heard criticism or blowback for what they've done at the past three deadlines. Like, you brought up the criticism. So anyway, to answer the question about Archer, I think it does give them pause. I also think that they're not in the same situation they were. And, you know, what are you going to do? If he can find a guy with a couple of years of club control, yes, I think he'll do it. But does he need one big piece to sort of get them over the hump right now? No, I don't think they're in that situation. So I don't think that sort of deal makes as much sense.
Follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations in North Huntington and North Hills. Is the pressure on from the fan base, do you think, and maybe the ticket holders and the people in this town, to get a bigger piece going into Bradenton next year to bolster the rotation?
Yeah, I think fans expect them to do something. I think fans, and rightfully so, look at this team and see Josh Bell, Brian Reynolds, Kevin Newman, Colin Moran, some pretty good starting pitching. But anybody who's looking at this thing and says that, you know, they're good, they don't need help, I think you're crazy. I mean, whether it's now or whether it's in the off season, and I think the off season is probably the more reasonable time to do it, you definitely want to see them get another arm. They were one or two arms short this season. And, you know, I guess somebody might look at that and say, oh, well, they've got Tyone coming back and Santana and Cool. And you know this, Colin. You can never have enough starting pitching. And the Pirates got caught without enough starting pitching this year. I'd love to see them go into spring training with, you know, we're talking about 9-10 arms. You know, who's going to pitch the best of this bunch, not how do we scrap together five and get them in a rotation. So, yes, I think they owe it to their fans to get another arm.
Well, it's really caught everybody's attention since the break because of the team-wide struggles to score runs, Jason. Josh Bell, since June 1st, is hitting just .212. Do you get a sense from him, or perhaps just around the rest of the club, that they're worried at all that May could have been a mirage?
I don't think they're worried about May being a mirage, but they certainly need him to do more than he's done lately, and he's in kind of a tough spot. I think ideally you would like to see him have more protection in the order. And where that comes from, I don't know. You know, Moran, Cabrera, what I've seen out of Josh Bell recently is he's not getting a whole bunch of pitches to hit. He's getting kind of antsy and going after stuff he probably shouldn't. And I understand why. He realizes the responsibility he has to this team, and that's to hit the ball. And sometimes when other guys aren't doing anything, you get out of your comfort zone, and that's what he's doing. I think the best thing Josh Bell can do, and I give Bell credit, I give Clint Hurdle credit for this too, because I think he's handled it the right way, is, you know, try to relax, try to focus on what got you here. So, no, I don't think it's a mirage, but I certainly don't think it's nothing. You know, in baseball, you can kind of slough aside or slough off, like, eight games. What's going on with Bell is more than that. They need to figure out what's going on with him and make a tweak here.
Does Gregory Polanco, does how he fits into their future plans, has that changed over the past couple weeks?
I think it's certainly a little bit more murky. You know, I still think they believe that he fits into their future plans, to not dance around that part, but how does he do that? I think there's a pretty big question right now, especially because of the emergence of Brian Reynolds. And, you know, you've got two of your three outfield spots accounted for. And Polanco right now has either struggled with the bat or he's been not healthy, or he hasn't been the world's greatest right fielder in the position that they absolutely need him to play. He's under contract, and I think there's only so much they can or will be willing to do with that. I know he has a doctor's appointment today. And the lingering shoulder issues are worrisome. They're worrisome for Polanco. They're worrisome for the Pirates. And so, you know, how he fits into their future plans, I think you certainly have to sort of question that at this point and try to find a third outfielder.
Jason, for a team that is working within the fiscal resources that they have, is it alarming to anybody in the organization at all that the highest paid player on the team is still no closer to having any clarity about whether he can ever play baseball again or not?
I like the way you put that, Chris. Fiscally responsible.
Yeah, the fiscal resources available to them.
And I think the answer to your question is no. Not because, you know, they're looking at Francisco Cervelli and saying, you're making an $11.5 million, you need to play and get out there, we don't care about your head. No, I mean, the greater concern is Cervelli's concussion history. I mean, there's nothing they can do there. It stinks, and they'd obviously rather have Cervelli, and he would be an upgrade over Diaz and Stallings. And I'm stating all of the obvious, but from what I've grasped and the sense that I've gotten is there's just we want Cervelli to be okay mentally, and you know that's the cost of doing business. That stuff happens. You can't just because a guy gets a concussion, you know, suddenly knock his salary down or something like that. They'll live with it. But, you know, do I think there's any possibility whatsoever of Cervelli having a future here? No. I mean, you have to make the business decision. But for now, I don't think they're too caught up in that financially.
Last thing for you. We're three Pittsburghers here. We were knocking this around, Chris and I were just a moment ago, and you're the third Pittsburgher that we bring in. Nostalgia, right? There was just the 79 celebration of the 79 team. You've been around the Penguins for sure. You've been around all three teams here in Pittsburgh. Do we do nostalgia too much, or is it a case of we have so much history that we do it just right and celebrate it enough?
That's a good one. That's a good one. I think we do it right. One of the things that's funny to me about being from here is everybody, well, that's the way it's always been. That's the way, you know, Pittsburghers love the way it's always been. And so, I don't know, man. I was brought up that the 79 Pirates are so darn cool. You know, I watched those Penguins teams of the night. They were my 79 Pirates. You know, I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say we obsess too much over it. It's fun.
I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. That 79 team was fun. They had a city enveloped in their excitement. It was a time where the economy was in the crapper and the steel mills were moving out of town and somebody needed and people needed something as a binding agent to sort of celebrate around.
I know, and we prop up all these old sports teams, but like what other cities have so many good sports teams to celebrate? Like you're telling me, you know, in 40, 50 years, like they're not going to be going crazy over the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick Patriots up in New England? I mean, come on. Yeah. If you have it, flaunt it.
And what would our civic identity be here in Pittsburgh if not for the championship teams on all sides of the late 70s?
Goofy traffic and potholed roads.
Right.
I don't know. Bad dialect, rainy weather.
Right, in an arena they built they've already torn down.
Yep.
So, thank you very much, Jason. I just want to get your input on that. We thank you, and we will talk again soon.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me. Have a good one.
Thanks, Jason. Yeah, you know what? You just hear from some of the younger people. All you do is talk about these old guys. That's all they put on TV. I love it. I wasn't around for those guys.
No.
I mean, I was just barely born.
Old. Yeah.
But I can't get enough of Manny Sanguin and Dave Parker, and I can't get enough. And then, because you always do to... You as well, you think of Willie Stargell as well.
Right.
You can't be here with those guys.
And I like the adjective that Jason used, cool. It was just a cool team. Like, they were cool. They had fun. And that you don't get that too much in modern-day sports anymore. Like, think of, like, for example, the Carolina Hurricanes
right. And
how they were just fun this year to watch if you were a hockey fan. That's what the 79 Pirates were. They were just fun.
Absolutely. Well, big thanks to Jason for that.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.